On today's episode of Beyond the Arc, we are halfway through the college basketball season. Almost time for conference play to start up. About time for the new year. Non-conference play is finishing up, and it's time for our early season reactions. Who is the Wooden Award favorite? Wooden Award watch in general? I think at this point, honestly, it's Zach Edey's from Purdue to lose. But there's a lot of guys that could be in the mix. I'll name those here. So stay tuned in for that. It's going to be a great discussion there. And then we also have the NBA Christmas Day recap. It was a great slate of games on Christmas Day. I would like to reiterate here. Christmas Day is made for basketball. I know we had some NFL games on Sunday. It just happened to be with how the calendar laid out, but NBA, I was locked in. There was so many great games, and they were all like must watch, like good games, like close, tight, all the way to the end. And you have some rivalries on the way up. Warriors Grizzlies, that was a thrilling game. Interesting to see there without Steph and Wiggins playing, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So yeah, big show today. Halfway through the college basketball season, preparing for the second half, which is conference play. Just keep an eye on some players here to look at when you get into conference play, to see who's towards the top, who could potentially be in the mix for the Wooden Award watch, a Wooden Award player of the year, other than Zach Edey, because again, I think at this point it's his to lose. So let's go ahead and get into it here on this fine Tuesday. Let's go.
Dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I'm your host, Jacob Reimer, and massive show today. Like I just said in the intro, Wooden Award watch. Purdue, number one team in the country right now. They've just been dominant. There's arguments that you could potentially say that UConn is right there in the mix as the best team in the country, or you can say they are the best team in the country over Purdue. I mean, they've blown out everybody. But this Purdue team is really good, and they are led by Zach Edey, who right now is the odds-on favorite to win the Wooden Award. I'm just here for all this good college basketball content and talk and all these big time players. Like, the names that I have for you, like, they will more than likely be the first team All-America team at the very end of the season. Like, they fit each spot perfectly. They are leading their teams. They're basically the top five. There's one that's maybe not in the top five, but they were. So I would just go ahead and get into it here. Zach Edey, like I said, best player in college basketball right now. It's his award to lose. Purdue, they're the best team in the country, in the best conference in the country, the Big Ten. The deepest, I would say, actually. I think there's an argument for the SEC or the Big 12, but the Big Ten is 100% the deepest conference in college basketball. And Purdue is right back on top again, like they were last year at one point, but this time it's for continuous weeks. Last year, when they were the number one team in the country, they fell shortly after they were given that title. This team could be so much better. They've got great guard play, great wings, but it all goes through Zach Edey, and he has just been a monster. 7-4, like, he's a tough matchup for anybody. Like, for how big he is, he's long, tall. Like, you just throw it up and his hands are already up there near the basket. He barely has to jump. For how dominant he's been this year and against the teams that they've played, like, they have the most quad one wins out of anybody right now. Like, they went to the PK85, they smashed Duke, they smashed Gonzaga, two teams that were in the top 10, projected to have great seasons this year. And they still are. They're both in the top 15. Duke maybe slid a little bit, but I don't know what they are off the top of my head. But they are two very good teams, well-coached teams with great players. Drew Timmy, who coming into the year was the favorite to win the Wooden Award, and now you've kind of seen his name falling off, but I don't think you should write him off just yet. It's still Drew Timmy, most experienced guy in college basketball, but it's still Zach Edey's award to lose right now. It depends on how he does in the Big Ten, because you're going to have teams that have scouted these guys really well, even if he creates matchup problems. Like, there's going to be teams that, okay, yeah, we saw what you guys did to stop him, and it worked. We're going to try and do it as well. A lot of games under the Purdue's belt, and a lot of film to go through to break down Zach Edey to a T, and see what he does in the post, what he does with his movements, because he's become a far and away so much more improved big. He's fundamentally sound. He gets to his spots, just backs a guy down because nobody can get around him for how tall and long he is. So it's just going to create matchup problems, and it's how teams are going to have to defend. Ohio State, I think, is one team that could be in trouble because they lack size, they struggle on the boards, and he's one of the best rebounders in the country, along with the great scoring option that he is. But yeah, Purdue, number one team in the country, coming into conference play, getting ready to start that up. They had a great non-conference, so if I'm a Boilermaker fan, I'm not worried at all. This Purdue team is really, really good. Like, I don't know if they could win at all. I mean, I think they can. They 100% can. But with how many good college basketball teams there are, like, there's at least eight that are very capable of making the Final Four. And, I mean, you never know what happens. You saw North Carolina last year. It all depends on matchups. If a team has more experienced guards than the young backcourt of Purdue, and they have a big that matches up and matches the physicality level of Zach Edey, then it could give Purdue some problems in the tournament. But we shall see there. But now Zach Edey by himself getting those 30 minutes a game, he's a tough matchup. He's a tough matchup for sure. One guy that I think that could take it from Zach Edey is Adama Sanogo from UConn. Like, he matches up well. This UConn team, they are the best team in the country. Like, they are number one right now. Like, they're not number one in the rankings, but there hasn't been a close game. Like, Georgetown gave them a scare last week, but I'm still not worried if I'm a UConn fan. They slaughtered Alabama in the PK85, and Alabama's had a tremendous start to their season. And, like, they've got a well-rounded group, great big with Sanogo, and they rotate a 7-foot guy in. He's not getting the full minutes like he's going to, but it's good to build up with the future around Sanogo, like behind Sanogo. A very experienced big, probably one of the best, if not the best. Arguably, he's definitely top two right now behind Zach Edey. And like I said, UConn, they're just blowing everybody out. They're the best team in the country right now. They have shooters. They defend. They just go through Sanogo on the inside. They're a well-rounded group. Sanogo, he's probably the number one guy that's in prime position of taking it from Zach Edey. Because the Big East, yeah, the Big East is good. You got UConn right now. You got Creighton, who's just completely fell off the face of the earth. But they got a win. They got two wins in a row, and they're starting to find themselves again. You got Xavier, you got Marquette, you got who am I missing? Providence. Like, there's Seton Hall. There's a lot of tough teams in the Big East, but I don't think they're as deep potentially as the Big Ten. And there's teams that match up better with Zach Edey in the Big Ten than there is with Sanogo in the Big East. You could maybe throw in Xavier with Nungy down low. So it's be interesting to see here coming into conference play what teams are going to do against these very skilled bigs. But Sanogo is probably the number one name to watch that could potentially take the crown from Zach Edey. two perimeter guys that are in the mix right now, Marcus Sasser and Jalen Wilson. Marcus Sasser with Houston. Houston, let's go back to their win against Virginia. I didn't really talk about it much on the last episode because I didn't get the chance to break down that amazing weekend in college basketball. But we had a top five matchup in Charlottesville. Houston went to Virginia and top five, number two versus number five, went to Charlottesville. And they were favored, actually. You can make the argument, okay, yeah, Reese Bickman, he was hurt. But Houston, they are just they're better at doing what Virginia does than Virginia. And that's what they got. That's what got them the win, if that made any sense. They are a lot more athletic. They are really good defensively. And they're better offensively. Like, I think... I love this Purdue team. Don't get me wrong. But they're the third best team in the country right now behind UConn. And then UConn and Houston is like 1A, 1B. Like, they're both number one, in my opinion. And Houston, they are well coached. Calvin Sampson, like, he has Houston in the mix every single year. The defense is just always tough and physical. And it helps because they're long and athletic. They get after it, and they can all score the ball. Like, they are really good offensively as well, and they have one of the best scorers in all of college basketball, Marcus Sasser. I think Marcus Sasser is a wing that could potentially creep up in there and snatch that award. And then Jalen Wilson from Kansas. Kansas is ranked number four right now. They're playing really well. Jalen Wilson, I think, like I said on the last podcast, I know I said it, I just can't remember when, but he's a guy, like, he's tested the NBA waters every year, and he's come back and just built and got better at his game and developed so he can get to that next level and be a primetime player. And he's been playing tremendous this year. I mean, he's dropped 25 plus multiple times this year already. He's accompanied by Grady Dick, who I think is one of the best freshmen, if not the best in the country. I think Brandon Miller might have something to say about that from Alabama. But Jalen Wilson, he's just a great wing, guy that can do it all. He can score on all three levels. His three-point shot's a little inconsistent, but he's not afraid to attack. He's not afraid to get in ball screen action and take advantage of the switch. He can create for others. That's what Kansas is doing so well right now, is because they basically have two creators on the offense. They got DeJuan Harris, who is mainly a pass-first guard, and that's great for this Kansas offense with the offensive weapons they have. And then you got Grady Dick spotting up. Like, you can't give as much help off of him, but there's other guys out there that can just knock down the shot. And Jalen Wilson, he's been playing tremendous, like I said, all season long so far. Kansas, I think they're a team that can do the repeat, and led by Jalen Wilson, I'm confident, like, in saying that so far, that these four are the four best players in college basketball right now. And I'll go another stretch and say this next guy, Brandon Miller, a freshman, is the fifth best. Like, he's college basketball's Kevin Durant. He can score on all three levels. He's like 6'9". Can shoot from anywhere. It's just a really tough matchup. Like, he's college basketball Kevin Durant. Can just do anything on the floor. He'll be a top five pick in next year's NBA draft. And he's leading Alabama. Bama came out of nowhere. Alabama loves to shoot the three, and Brandon Miller is one of their best 3-point shooters. At 6'9", 6'8", whatever he is. But he is a great wing/big that can just attack any matchup. Like, you get a big on an island on him, that's game over. That's an easy 2 or 3 points right there for Alabama. I'm very confident in saying that those are the top five players in the country. Zach Edey, Adama Sanogo, Marcus Sasser, Jalen Wilson, and Brandon Miller. That, like, right now at this point, you're looking at the AP All-America team, right there, those five. I don't think that you can quite count out Drew Timmy, Jaime Jaquez, and Armando Bacot just yet. Drew Timmy, he's the most experienced player in college basketball, was the favorite coming into the season to win, even with Oscar Tshiebwe coming back. I'm sorry, Oscar, I don't think you're going to be going back-to-back, just like all the previous ones that have come back, previous winners that have come back. Kentucky's just kind of out of it right now. But Drew Timmy, Gonzaga, they got a huge win against Alabama. Going into conference play now, they're just going to roll through the West Coast Conference. And Jaime Jaquez, like, he is just an elite wing, a very talented scoring threat for UCLA. I love Jaime Jaquez's game, and he's leading UCLA. The huge win against Kentucky a couple weeks ago. You're going in, now into Pac-12 season, Pac-12 conference play. You got to go up against Arizona. You got to go against Oregon. You got to go against USC, Arizona State. The Pac-12, I think they're better than what they usually are this year. You got Washington in there. But Jaime Jaquez is going to get some tough matchups, and I'm taking him almost any time in a one-on-one scenario. He can do anything. He can take you into the post, give you an array of pump fakes and ball fakes, and get around you and score, or just do a nice little fadeaway Dirk jump shot and put it in. And then I don't think you can count out Baycott yet. I don't – like North Carolina, yeah, they struggled a little bit. But if you look at these past two games, I think the main struggles were because Baycott wasn't completely healthy and they hadn't been at home. If you look specifically the last two games, Baycott has been the player that college basketball was wanting to see this year. The guy that's going to break every rebounding record at North Carolina, be the all-time leader in double-doubles and rebounds. And some guys thought that those records weren't going to be touched. But it's like, because you had Tyler Hansbrough and all those guys. Like, I didn't think it would be touched. And what Baycott has been doing, he's arguably the best rebounder in North Carolina history, and maybe even college basketball history. That is just very tough to keep this guy off the glass. He just puts himself in the spot. He reads it coming off the rim perfectly. And then you get it to him in the post. Like, North Carolina, they got to get him a post touch every time down the floor. Baycott's a really good passer. He's an underrated post passer. But a lot of times it doesn't come out when it comes back in, but you look at the matchup. I think he loves playing against Hunter Dickinson because he just owns him. And he had a great matchup against Zed Key. Zed Key is big and matches the physicality level with Baycott. But Baycott's he's taller. He can see right over top of Zed. And that's what helped North Carolina in their last two wins, was because of the play from Baycott and the difference maker he was being on offense. Like, you didn't have that in those four game losing streak. You didn't have, like, Baycott didn't play like the last two overtimes against Bama, and he wasn't in foul trouble. He may have been in foul trouble, but like, he wasn't, like, he, everybody thought he was fine, and evidently he was not. And then got hurt again against Indiana and just couldn't really keep Trace Jackson Davis in front of him. And that hurt North Carolina. They couldn't get stops. They weren't rebounding well. They weren't getting the ball inside to him because they couldn't because he was hurt. And he didn't play against Virginia Tech because he was hurt, just getting rest. So Baycott's putting up ridiculous numbers again like he did last year. I think you can't count him out just yet, because now North Carolina, they're ranked inside the top 25 for the first time in a couple weeks. They are number 25. They're on the rise. They're on a huge win streak. They've got a lot of winnable games coming up to continue to add to that and get the separation in the win-loss column, like the margin, a lot bigger. And they're going to look like the number one team in the country like they were coming into the season. I'm not worried about them. Don't sleep on Timmy, Baycott, or Jaquez yet. But right now, Edie, Sanogo, Marcus Sasser, Jalen Wilson, and Brandon Miller. That's your top five players in the country right now. So now we're going to do a little NBA Christmas Day recap. First game you had, Madison Square Garden, noon tip-off, Sixers at Knicks. The Knicks, they've been playing well. They went on like an 8-game win streak. Jalen Brunson is looking to be like the Knicks' savior right now. RJ Barrett is playing up to that contract that he got. Julius Randle is playing well as well. And they've got great role players that fill their positions perfectly. They're starting to figure it out a little bit there in New York in Madison Square Garden. But the Sixers, they've really impressed me these past couple of days. I bet against them, against the Clippers, because I feel like I can't go against Kawhi and Paul George. Against James Harden, who Kawhi and Paul George normally play very good defense on. The Clippers were up big. They were up 17.5. Sixers come all the way back and win the game. They were down early, like double digits against the Knicks on Christmas Day. And they came back and they were on like a 21-4 run in the fourth at one point. They played really well. They are a really deep team. DeAnthony Melton, point guard off the bench, he's played great. And this is all without Tyrese Maxey as well. I am nervous now, though. A lot of news about James Harden potentially going back to Houston for the Sixers team that could lose all their momentum because of all these talks around it. Everybody, all the reporters wanting to get answers, and there's conflict there in the locker room then potentially. But James Harden is saying, I don't know where that report came from, and I want to stay here in Philly. I don't think he specifically said that, but it sounded like that to me. And him and Embiid is a very tough matchup to stop. Like, James Harden's playing like an MVP right now. Like, I love him on my fantasy team because I'm getting over 100 points a night from him. And he's just playing great basketball. Like, old James Harden, 2018 James Harden, MVP James Harden. He's not scoring like he did, but he's getting the assists because the scoring is going all through Embiid. And Embiid is a very tough guy to stop. You have Tobias Harris. You got Tyrese Maxey coming back from injury. You got PJ Tucker. George's Niang, he's been playing great for the Sixers right now. Are they a contender? Are they a legit contender? I would say yes, right now they are. Solely because of the play of James Harden and Joel Embiid. They are a very nasty duo. Great playmaker and an elite big. MVP caliber big. That's going to be tough to stop. Pick and roll action. You have to try to guard one. You either get a switch or it's pick and roll action. So, I don't know. I like the Sixers a lot right now. They are playing really great basketball, and they're getting healthy. Tyrese Maxey, I think, is supposed to come back this weekend. So, that's huge for them moving forward. The Lakers give up 51 in the third and lose to the Mavs. Luka went nuts again, adding to his MVP case, had 32-9-9. And just the Mavs are just playing. They're playing great. I think they need Luka on the floor at all times in order to succeed. He doesn't have much help. They've got shooters that surround Luka, with Reggie Bullock, Tim Hardaway Jr. They've got some shooters, but like, Christian Wood's been playing great. Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, they've got the guys, but right now it's not looking like it. I think Dallas is hoping for a couple seasons ago, Christian Wood, when he was in Detroit, and I don't think he's quite at that level again. Hopefully he looked really good on Christmas Day, so hopefully he's getting back to that. And it could be good there for Dallas, but if not, they're going to need to get Luka some help big time. But Lakers, they continue to struggle. Anthony Davis should be back here soon, though. It's just tough in LA right now. They fell to the Hornets a couple nights ago. It's been tough. It's been tough in LA, and it's tough to watch. But I'm happy with Dallas winning. Luka looked really good, adding to his MVP case, even though I think he's third right now in the MVP race. We'll get into that in a second. Celtics prove that they're the best in the East. And I think are they the best in the East? Yes, 100%. They had a motive to get back and get back to the finals this year. Really well coached. great defense again, like last year. They're probably the deepest team in the NBA right now. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are probably the best duo right now. I can't think of a better duo than those two. Jason Tatum is just playing at an MVP level right now. The Celtics are the best team in the East. They're the favorite to come out. I don't care what the power rankings say. The Celtics are the favorite to win the Eastern Conference. And I'd put my money on them to make it out. Jason Tatum wants to get back. He wants to win. And as a Carolina guy, like, I can't hate Jason Tatum because that dude is just a bucket. And he doesn't do anything that, like, would make you, like, if you woke up from a coma today from, like, I don't know, math here, 6-year coma before Tatum played at Duke, didn't get to watch him at Duke, I don't think you would think that he played at Duke. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a genuine guy, and he just wants to hoop. He loves his family. Like, he didn't play one day because of his son's birthday. Like, that's just awesome. That's fantastic. I love that. And he's just a genuine dude. I don't think you would, like, if you were woke up today from a 6-year coma, I don't think that you would think Jason Tatum played at Duke. I know I wouldn't. I was gonna say you might think he played at Carolina, but I'd say that. Just a genuine dude. I love the way he plays. Bucks, they got to get healthy first and foremost. Chris Middleton's still hurt. He's been battling injuries all season long. Giannis can only do so much, and I love Giannis. I want to see him win, but the East is getting tougher. Like, Brooklyn, they're on the come up. They've won a lot of big games recently. KD and Kyrie, they are one of the deepest teams as well. The Cavs, they are right there in the mix. You got the Knicks coming up, Sixers, but Celtics, they're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference right now. I think Jason Tatum, at the level that he is playing at, I think he's the favorite to win MVP. I really think that. I don't think that's a scorching hot take either. Like, he is the best player in the NBA right now. MVP-wise, like, MVP race-wise, honestly, I'm going to say Steph is the best player in the league right now because defending champ, he's playing at an elite level, went before he got hurt. But obviously, you want to give it to somebody else every year. Jason Tatum is that guy this year right now. And number one team in the East, I think winning matters. Your record matters. And Jason Tatum is playing like that dude right now, 100%. The Warriors and Grizzlies. That was a very, very fun game. The Warriors shut up the Grizzlies again. Grizzlies got to stop talking. They got to stop talking. Dylan Brooks, like, Klay Thompson is out here trolling him with, like, galloping, standing over top of him. Draymond blocking John, screaming in his face. Like, letting these young bucks know, like, yeah, we're still the champs. You guys can't be talking dynasty. Like what Klay said, Dylan Brooks ticked him off when he said that they're trying to build a dynasty and stuff. And Klay's like, you can't talk dynasty when you haven't won before. That's a fact. You can't. You absolutely cannot talk when you haven't won before. I think the Grizzlies, their time is coming. John Morant shows a lot of promise. I love Memphis' team. Desmond Bane is a really good second option on the perimeter. Jaren Jackson is a really good inside big that can help stretch the floor. It's what the game's becoming today. And they're a deep, tough, gritty team, and they're fun to watch. But you gotta stop the Warriors first. John Morant says the team that he's focused on is the Celtics. He said he's fine in the West. Warriors put a stop to those talks. They looked really good without Steph and without Wiggins. They've got an 8-game home stretch here against a lot of teams that they can win. They're hanging around 500 right now. I think 2 games up above 500. They can go on a nice little 8-game win streak here without Steph. Wiggins should be coming back here soon. Steph, I think, is supposed to come back mid-January. Don't count out the champs yet, man. I think they're figuring it out. The Grizzlies, with all their talk, they may have just woke up a monster in Golden State right there. Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole played really good until he got ejected. There were so many technical fouls in that game for the Warriors just because they were so pissed off at the Grizzlies, like wanting to give them a message. And like, I mean, you saw their road trip after Steph got hurt was not good. They're horrible on the road. They're one of the best teams at home. I think they've only got two losses at home, maybe. Best home record out of anybody in the NBA. And they defend home court. That matters in playoff times. You just got to somehow snag one on the road. And if they can take advantage of building momentum off this win against one of the best teams in the Western Conference, they got 8 games at home against teams that are towards the bottom of each conference. Let me pull up their schedule real quick. I know they play the Hornets tonight. The Hornets, they've got a good lineup for sure, but like they're 9-25 or something like that. So right now the Warriors are sitting at 2 games below 500. My bad. 16-18. They're 10th in the West, so they're in the play-in, but not at home. Just beat the Grizzlies. They got the Hornets, the Jazz, the Trailblazers to finish out December. I skipped too much. And then the Hawks, Pistons, Magic, and Suns. They've got beef with the Suns, too. Like, I really do think that they can win all of these games. And then they play at the Spurs, at the Bulls, at the Wizards, at the Celtics, at the Cavs. Like, so this is a crucial point in the season for the Warriors right now. Without Steph, without Wiggins for maybe a few more games. I don't know if he's playing tonight or not officially. Let me check. Expected to be out until at least tomorrow, December 28th. So, I don't think you can count out this Warriors team yet. This is a crucial point in the season, though. Defending your home floor against teams that are towards the bottom part of each conference. These may be must-win games. I'm putting must-win titles on these games right now. They've got to win. They've got to win these next 8. Get to math here. 24-18 before they hit the road again for a long road trip. And then I forgot. Listen to this stretch right here. So I think at the Spurs is another winnable game, but you never know with how the Warriors are playing on the road. At the Bulls, at the Wizards, at the Celtics, at the Cavs. Then they come home and play Brooklyn, Memphis, and Toronto. That's a tough 7 games right there. Those are very tough. So yes, this is the turning point in the season. If they want to get out of the play-in spot, get maybe a top 4 seed. Like the West is so close right now. Like they're only 5 games out, 6 games out of first in the West. They go on a nice little 8 game win streak here. Hey, I'm telling you, they could get up into that top 4. And once they get fully healthy, I like it. I like their chances. They're defending champs. They've got the target. I'm comfortable with saying that. But this is 100% the turning point of the season right here. Without 2 of your main scoring options, Klay's got to be that guy. Poole's got to be that guy. Draymond's got to be Draymond of old. The creator, the rebounder, get it and go. Look for your shooters. Moses Moody, these rookies, they've got to step up. Moses Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman. This is eyeball emoji. Like look at the Warriors right now. This is like each game is tune in for sure. All right, so then the last game, thriller between the Nuggets and the Suns. Aaron Gordon put Landry Shamet into earth. That dunk was insane. Was ridiculous. Devin Booker got hurt for the Suns. Hurt them a ton. But Phoenix, they hung around a little bit. I'm still maybe concerned with Devin Booker potentially out. Let me see if he's potentially playing tonight. They play at the Grizzlies tonight. Grizzlies are looking for a get back because they're mad. And they just beat the Suns. without Devin Booker. Devin Booker is expected to be out until tomorrow. So probably no Devin Booker again tonight. We'll have to wait and see, because the Suns team is battling a lot of injuries right now. But I think the main story from this game is Denver Nuggets. They're the best team in the West. And Jokic, could he go three-peat of MVPs? I think him and Tatum are 1A and 1B right now. They are the top two players in the NBA right now in the MVP race. And, I mean, he went for 41, 15, and 15 against Phoenix on Christmas Day. Christmas Day debut, and you're putting up that kind of numbers? Like, man. That's, as a center, too, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I love this Nuggets team. Another well-rounded group. Jamal Murray's he's healthy. I love to see Jamal Murray back out there. He's just a fun player to watch. The everything that he does on the floor is so fun. And I love Christian Brown, rookie. He fills his role perfectly. Shooter. Michael Porter Jr. is coming back. Aaron Gordon is playing great. He played really well on Christmas Day as well. I think maybe the Nuggets can make a move. They have to make a move by the trade deadline to get another good option, I guess. Nothing too crazy. Maybe a Buddy Hield. I don't know. Maybe a Buddy Hield. I'm trying to think of some teams that aren't in contention that have a guy that can add a spark when needed. But they're playing really well right now. I love this Nuggets team. Keep your eye out January 1st. Game, screw bowl season, because this is potential NBA Finals matchup. Celtics at Nuggets. This is when the NBA voters for MVP are going to look back on this game. It was you think last year, Nuggets and Sixers primetime game, Jokic outplayed Embiid, and that's what got Jokic the votes for MVP going back-to-back. This is going to be the game where NBA voters look back, who played better in this game? And I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a dogfight. These two teams are really good and playing great basketball at the right time, transcending up. That's why this game on January 1st is must watch. I know you got the bowl games and everything, but no, you got to tune into this game. Voice crack, you got to tune into this game. I don't care. Get League Pass for one night. You got to watch it. That's who it's going to come down to, Jokic or Tatum. January 1st, 8 o'clock, tune into that. That's all I got for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed. Halfway points, about to start the new year. Halfway point of college basketball. NBA is flipping the calendar. It's exciting times in basketball, in both levels. So it's fun. It's awesome. I love it. Hope you guys had a great Christmas and a safe holiday. Now we go enjoy the new year. So let's get ready. All these big-time college basketball games coming up. I know right once we start the new year, we got Purdue at Ohio State. So that's a big one circled on my calendar. So make sure you tune into those. All those games I mentioned, tune into these players that are towards the top of college basketball. You don't want to miss them, especially preparing here now. We're a few months away from March. It's exciting. It's awesome. I love this college basketball stuff. Let's go. Anything basketball, I just love it. You guys know that. Again, thanks for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. We will see you next time.